Supervisor Belsky?
Belsky.
How do you pronounce it?
I think Belsky.
Belsky? His excuse, she has strep throat. And she said she wanted to make sure she could get to tomorrow's meeting, and I said, yeah. So she's excused. And Supervisor Skoliski is on the way. And we have one youth in governance, one missing in accident. That's our rule.
Oh, no, here he is.
They're both here. So approval of the minutes of the previous meeting would be, did everyone receive those? Anybody have a chance to review it? Do we have a moment?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes. Any comments, corrections? If not, all those in favor, youth and governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. Were approved. The chairman, the only comments I have is the ability of all our departments to react quickly with the weather that we've had. They've done a great job. The highway department, I heard great reviews with that just horrendous day we had. What was that, Thursday?
Thursday.
Thursday. If you were out in the county where I am, like quarter mile from Walworth County, it was like January, about 1:30 in the afternoon. Highway Z, it was just like January, drifting across there, and they kept up nicely and did a good job. Parks guys were all ready, and they had their equipment on. Got the parks nice and clean and safe. I know that when that happens, we had to not do some scheduled work that we had, and hopefully we're going to be able to get to our scheduled work. And then some other surprises that we had, and I know Clement will probably give you an update on it, but Highway W with the Fox River has been darn near at flood stage most of the year, it seems, and it's giving us some conditions right now on Highway W. So I'll let us move on. Any other supervisors?
To ask a little more on that, where in conjunction to where all the work that was done is the erosion at?
About a mile away.
About a mile away?
It's closer to Highway 50.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Between J.I. and F.R.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then I do have something else. I had a constituent, Mr. Edward Ide, was on the trooper. He said he's contacted, again, Kenosha County Highway Department about clearing the Highway C dam. I'm not quite sure what that is. Only thing I know about the Highway C is the culvert that goes from Camp Lake going to the south. I'm not talking about the infamous culvert. But he said there's one that he goes in and has to, he goes in once in a while and just cleans out all kinds of stuff and crap. And he said, is that something he can look at to,
yeah,
to see? I mean, have you guys replied back to him at all on anything? Because he's saying he hasn't heard anything back. And
have you heard anything?
I'm just hearing for the first time. Okay. If I can get his contact, I'll reach out.
Yes, I'll forward his email.
Okay.
Yeah. It just came out the other day.
People call that culvert that gets clogged with cattails there. I'll see.
Yeah.
I've heard it called the dam.
Okay.
Okay. I thought it was the culvert that was over there.
Yes.
Okay.
It may not be that one, but.
All right.
Yeah. When you just forward it to me, I'll pull up on it. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you.
If there's nothing else, we'll move on to Clement. You're first this evening, Highway Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And of course, we had our first snow event. Honestly, we did not want it, but we had the accumulation. In some cases, in some situation, that we had some serious accumulation. It ranges from 3 inch to 6 inch, depending on where you are in the county. The good thing was that no major incident was reported. The general maintenance operations were significantly hampered last month because of wet working conditions. The division has completed all contract municipal projects and is working to wrap up a few DPW projects. We are also seriously engaged in preparing the trucks for winter operation, but now we have to fast track. I think majority, if not all of the trucks are now ready for winter operations. Of course, with all the events that are happening, we still continue to carry out our routine highway maintenance, which includes brushing, trash picking up, shouldering, beaching, and general pavement spot repairs. We've also continued to do the spot repairs on Highway 31 and Highway 50. And I don't know, because of the weather, I don't think we have been there yet, but there's a planned work on County Trunk Highway AH and 83. There's some drainage issues concerns there. The pavement is in disrepair, and we had to repair it, but before we repair it, we'll need to treat the drainage problems underneath the pavement. Definitely, the weather is not helping, but as soon as the weather gives us some little break, we'll be able to go in there and repair them. And that's a DOT project. On county projects, County Trunk Highway S, again, I don't really have good news here. There was a little bit of a setback. The project was supposed to be authorized to be advertised today, tomorrow. Unfortunately, the department did not grant that authorization to advertise. So instead of bidding the project in December, we'll probably be bidding the project sometime in February. Most of the reasons they gave us were not reasons that they should be considering for delaying the advertisement. However, they have the control. We do not have that control. We can force them to do what they don't want to do. But in any case, construction is still scheduled for spring, summer of 2020, and hopefully we are going to do majority of the work next year and probably complete it in 2021. The County Trunk Highway S Phase 2, the right-of-way acquisition is complete, except for two properties, which is going through litigations, and four out of 16 buildings remain to be demolished. All demolition is targeted to be completed in February of 2020. Advertisement of bids is tentatively scheduled for April because we are following up some funding options. Construction is still scheduled to start in spring or summer of 2020. County Trunk Highway F, the design team plans to submit, when each time I write these documents, I'm writing them ahead of schedule, so sometimes some of this information are outdated. The design team submitted plans, specification, and estimates for final review to the Department of Transportation on November 1st. So the review process is ongoing. Right-of-way acquisition is scheduled to be completed by mid-November, which is 2 weeks late, but we're going to complete everything then. Demolition of the buildings on acquired properties is targeted to be completed by the end of the year. Bid advertisement is scheduled for March of 2020. Construction to start by June of 2020. The county met with Randall Town Board and Randall Planning Commission to provide an overview of the draft intergovernmental agreement on October 24th. The board voted to support the IGA negotiation process and will begin legal review. We will work to schedule similar meeting with the Village of Twin Lakes and will also target getting the remaining MOUs out to the remaining area property owners in November. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Question about that project. I don't recall seeing anything going out. And you may have sent it for this joint meeting with the Randall Plan Commission and the Randall Town Board. Did you send out anything?
No, because Chairman Stoll actually set it up on their committee, and it was publicly noticed as there. But it was the same night as... It was the same night as the Finance Committee, the Thursday night of the Finance Committee. Yeah, and so that's why
I was just wondering if we had a notice that went out. Chairman and I both been at those things.
Yeah, I didn't, because it was their thing, but I just went to present to them.
You went out and I missed it, or just you didn't send it out? I was just wondering if something I missed.
Nope, nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was mainly a for Ray to represent the county to answer any questions about the IGA.
Right.
And they had a lot of them.
It was a spirited meeting.
Can you let me know when the Twin Lakes one is?
Yeah.
I would just like to, just as a resident, rant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
While we're on that one, I noticed that someone was dismantling that pole barn on one of the property.
Oh, yeah. Generally, interested citizens in Kenosha would once in a while come to us to say they want something or that thing. But generally, the county does not get involved.
Right.
If you can work it out with the contractor, which we normally typically send them to the construction management team to deal with it. So if they are moving it, probably it worked. Maybe they agreed for them because it saves money.
I know who's doing it. I told them that we probably wouldn't get involved. But they talked to the construction management?
I directed him to the construction management team.
And it's a good point to bring up because it seems like every time there's a project, there's questions. I actually got a question from a judge that asked if they would be able to get something out of one of the properties we bought downtown because they didn't know. And so we're very, very strict. When we acquire a property, whether it's for a road project or any other project, once we get that property, we lock it down until we will bid for the demolition. And then once that bid is awarded to whoever that contractor is for the demolition, it's their baby. We don't allow anybody to take anything out of there. If they work something out with somebody, once they own it, so to speak, for demo purposes, because they typically have figured into their bid what they're going to recycle and repurpose from that. And so we really are really tight about that because there's been issues in other counties not far from here.
Right.
We're very, it's so easy for people to look at it and say, oh, well, this thing's just going to get destroyed, so you know we'll just go in and take a couple things out of there. And we're very strict about managing all of that.
Right.
So we have no liability. Somebody walks in there and gets hurt because this contractor is allowed to come in and take something. The county has no liability?
Nope.
Once they are awarded that's my understanding. Yeah, we can get clarification.
I'd like to know for sure, because I know in Randall, remember the old sheds we used to have when Storm Winnie came in and wanted some stores and stuff, and I'm like, I don't want the guy in there, the shed could fall on him. So our attorney Steen had put together a hold harm.
Yeah.
So if you go in there, you go in on your own, and we have no link, and you're allowed mm-hmm. this time and that time, and that's it. You know, we got very strict, but we didn't have another company coming in basically buying it.
Right, because we have that language, like what you're saying, that's in our contract with that successful bidder for the project. So then what they do with their subs, so to speak, then that's on them. But we can confirm that if you want.
I'd just like to verify that.
No, but typically,
signs are up there. The signs are up. And so no way to just go ahead.
Typically, once we award the contract, it is the contractor's responsibility to take care of secure
property.
Typical,
then I wouldn't be concerned about it. I was like, Starzec got like 52 trees out of Highway 50 by going just to the company that was going to cut them all down back when 50 was expanded.
Mm.
And our parks really got treed up pretty quick. I don't know, 50 new trees, that wasn't too bad in those little parks we have. Growing like crazy now. But yeah, they just clear cut them all. We got out everything we could. After that, they just clear cut them, and that was it. But he went to the construction trailer that was there. So, okay.
Okay, County Trunk Highway K project. The design team continues to work with FEMA to relocate the Pike Creek. Right-of-way acquisition is ongoing with completion targeted at the end of January 2020. Utility companies are submitting work plans for review and approval. Utility relocation work is scheduled to start by mid-November. The city and the county continues to discuss stormwater utility relocation and funding options, all of which need to be resolved to determine the project schedule. So basically, we don't really have a schedule because I'm just going rolling with the flow. until we can come to an agreement with the city. With all another projects which I didn't put on these ones, the County Trunk Highway H and 65th Street signalized intersection project, I just got information from the contractor that the bolt testing and the monotube testing will be completed today. They'll be mobilizing and start installation as early as Wednesday, and the installation is anticipated to be completed sometimes before the end of next week. County Trunk Highway W, of course, County Trunk Highway W is closed between at the 7700 block. We did soil boring test today. The consultant will be doing the investigation. We'll be getting feedback as soon as possible. Based on the investigation, the results from the investigation, we are going to determine both short-term and long-term options to stabilize the bank of the river. Foxconn and related DOT projects, I-94 to County Trunk, that is County Trunk Highway K from I-94 to County Trunk Highway H. The contractor is inching slowly to the finish line, but there's still some portion left for paving on the south side. They're still hoping to complete the construction and open up the six lanes between I-94 and H by the end of the year. If the weather continues the way it's doing, we just hope that they'll make that time, but I'm not really sure. County Trunk Highway KR from H to 31. The design team continues to fine-tune the design and attempting to address some of the citizens' stormwater drainage issues, concerns that have been coming up as the design progresses. All right, right-of-way acquisition is in progress and on schedule, and construction is targeted to begin in the fall of 2020. That is all I have for today.
Well, you're never going to have a worse year to see all the bad things that can happen. So as far as drainage and those things, we should really have this one down pat, because it can't get any worse. So if we're addressing, and the state's addressing water things now.
Yeah. Thank God I've not drowned yet.
Yeah.
It's interesting, one of the ones Clement's talking about on KR, there's actually an individual that wants more stormwater diverted to his property to create a pond,
he wants it stopped.
Yeah, then he wants it stopped.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. And his neighbor is not keen on it, so it's going to be interesting. It's fascinating, these drainage things.
It's not necessarily related to, but it's, I think, a byproduct of all the Foxconn truck traffic. I got a call from a constituent or two on 45 and 142, mm-hmm. braking, high-speed travel. I still need to send you that email. I keep forgetting on KR. What can be done to, can we use the county's noise ordinance at all on Jake braking? Because, you know, there's 7 or 8 homes right just west of 45 on 142, and these guys start at 6 a.m. There's perceptions of excessive speed coming in, and then, of course, hard braking, Jake braking, realizing it's a state highway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't
And I know you're going to talk to the state because he had mentioned he called you too.
I don't think the county has a jaywalking ordinance.
Probably not, but it does have noise ordinance.
Noise ordinance?
I think it does, yeah.
Sure. I think typically, though, I believe that the municipality is the one that has the authority there, I think, but I'm not sure of that.
Yeah, and apparently township of Paris doesn't have
any.
It is a municipality because there is one going into Wilmot, and that's that Salem Lakes had to enact that.
Yeah.
And that was the engine brake mufflers.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had their own, so they would have to get their own.
How do they plan to enforce that?
The locals will enforce it. The county will not.
Well, but my point is, obviously, you know, law enforcement out there is through the sheriff's department, right? Mm-hmm. So how will the township? able to enforce it, because per se, they don't have their own law enforcement.
Yeah, typically, this is how, when you, all enforceable signs is supposed to be enacted through an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not have the ordinance in the county, then the sheriffs
can't
do anything.
All right. So I'll contact Holloway and company.
So what we typically do, we encourage these, if it's a county highway, we'll encourage the local municipality, and we'll give them, they'll file in a permit application, right-of-way permit application, which is just for formality, to just to document that we allow them to do that, and then they'll go ahead and install it and enforce it.
Now, and that's fine, you know, so I can work on that. In the meantime, and the reason I know there's a county noise ordinance, because that proposed outdoor gun range came up in Summers, and there's, you know, great concerns. Is a diesel truck traffic comparable to, you know, gunfire? Apparently it is decibel-wise, but the problem is, of course, the very random and sporadic noise as opposed to the normal drone on, off of a highway. In this case, it's very sporadic, right? Because it's there and it's not there and it's there. And I'll check with maybe Corp Council and see whether or not we have any latitude from a county standpoint. You hate to make this a big deal, but, you know, some of these truckers, they get paid by the load, right? Speed limits.
I just went through the intersection today and I saw one of the
ancillary noise is not their concern. And I understand, but they've got to be cognizant of what's going on too.
And to clarify something, I believe that in the unincorporated areas, the towns, the sheriff still has the authority to enforce those.
But he has to have the ordinance.
Yes, but it has to be a town.
All right, I'll follow through on that. Thanks.
And the other thing, we also try to pay attention to the noise is you also have to be we also have to be located outside the clear zones, like 66 feet. So when you're talking about the decibel, they always have to make sure that you are not within that zone. Because if you are non-compliant, then you're not going to get the right decibels.
Sure, yeah.
So, okay. So sometimes they do consider that. Because if I look at that intersection, those buildings are really at the road. I mean, literally, if they are far, 20 feet. So the decibels definitely will not meet standard. Because
I don't think the saloons will be concerned about the noise.
No, they weren't the ones complaining. They're usually not open at 6 and at night they've got the music going. All right, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Clement. We will move on to Mr. Collins. Yeah, Matt Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Parks.
First thing on our status report this evening is Bounce Adventures and Kenosha County Parks have been awarded the Wisconsin Park and Recreation Association Silver Star Award for creative service and delivery marketing. So I'm actually going up this weekend to give a presentation on what I believe is something very unique, not only to the state of Wisconsin, but in the Midwest, on our partnership with Boundless Adventures. So it's an honor for the county to be awarded this on a statewide level. And it's a pretty competitive process to go through this award. And so hopefully other communities can kind of learn and use that as kind of a template for not only partnerships with Boundless Adventures, but everything that we're doing within our county. So a good pat on the back for all of us in the county for that award coming up. Next thing we have is Petrifying Springs Park, old park administration building. So this thing had its use way back in the day in 1927 or so, but it's time for it to go. So demolition plans are underway for the building to be burned by Summers Fire Department. So they helped us out with a couple other of their burnings just to help out with training. And that's set for hopefully spring of 2020. We've already started with the abatement plans for that. And actually tomorrow we're gonna be rerouting the lines and doing some underground bore for rerouting the water lines within the park. So that one will be moving forward and more updates to come on that one. Also with the beer garden, just giving a note that they closed for the season, and if you've been there, they've probably had their busiest season to date. So very popular place, and yeah, that just got too cold too fast for us, so they ended a little bit prematurely this year. A couple Kemper Center items. The restroom remodel project, bids were due back on the 24th of October. Fortunately, no bidders bid on this project, so we're gonna just look at alternative methods, because it's not a very big project scope, so I'm guessing that these contractors are fairly busy right now, so we're just looking at other ways that we can get this project still done.
It's too small.
I think so, yeah. Also, another project, just to update on the CIP for Kemper Center, three doors, exterior doors were replaced over at Kemper Center, so we're just plugging away with some of those 2019 CIP items. As far as general park operations, just to mirror what Clement had said, same with the parks, that, you know, we're working on transitioning to winter preparation, forestry, facility, grounds, upgrades, and equipment maintenance. So we stay busy year-round, just transitioning to a different time of the season now that pavilion rental season is coming to an end. And then you can see the past events. We kept busy all of October and hosting a lot of great events throughout the park system. One to note is that Scout Jam, even though it was cold that weekend, but we had 700 kids out there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see them in action.
I saw them.
So it was probably pretty remarkable to see all that set up.
Yeah, kids and their mothers in parkas.
I believe that. Yeah.
Running down the road.
Well, they said they wanted to come back next year. I recommended to do it maybe in September versus October. So we'll see if they take that advice. And then the special events are going to be, you know, coming to a slowdown, so we only have one for November. And that's all I had in my general report.
Thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things are coming to an end for a lot of, a little quicker than we wanted. Dan, speaking of weather.
Well, October was a challenge for us, but we did have the senior scramble on the 4th, and we had 108 players, which was a great turnout. On the 12th, we had 120 players show up for the Brightondale Open, which was a 27-hole event, and the winning team was at 15 under, so that was a fun event too, and even with the weather that it, like it was. And then the Halloween Horror was the 26th, and we had 152 players, but nine got scared away by the weather, so we had 143 actually play that day. We really helped end the season for us on a positive note. Just want to say again, we've actually won the best course in Kenosha County that came out yesterday in the newspaper. So Petrifying Springs was number one, and Brightondale was number three. So it was great to hear, you know, that we have great golf courses and people really enjoy them. We were preparing for a shutdown at Brightondale for November 22nd, but I don't see any reason to stay open after today. The next forecast for 15 days is terrible, you know, so there's maybe one day at 41 degrees. So the problem with that, too, is Petrifying Springs, we did the cart pass, we pulverized them all, and now basically when they're wet like they are, they're impassable. You know, so we can allow walking only at Petrifying Springs, even though we have carts, you know, and if it gets nice. So it's really unfortunate that the weather took the ability for us to pave those holes, because now we can't even be cart path only over there. So we're probably going to shut down Brightondale starting tomorrow, and then you know, we'll have a sign on the doors that Petrifying Springs, if the weather forecast is above 40 on weather.com, then we'll be open. If not, but the positive on that is the next big initiative is the special holiday golf clearance sale. So we'll have all of our merchandise moved over from Brightondale to Petrifying Springs. We'll have all of our food and beverage also moved over there, and then hopefully within this week we'll get our simulator up and running. That's what our goal is, you know, if we could have it up by Friday, but it has to be tested and everything. So, you know, we're hoping that we can get some indoor activity and do some club fitting and lessons, and actually rent out the simulator. We'll have hours from 10 to 8, Tuesday through Saturday. That's what we're gonna try. And then a special, you can rent out the whole place on Sundays if you'd like, for $400, and you get 8 hours of play in the whole building to yourself and that kind of stuff. So.
And there'd be an unlimited amount of people.
Yeah.
20 people come in. And play.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're gonna try give
otherwise,
that.
Was there like an hourly rate?
Yeah, it's gonna be $35 during the week, and $40 on the weekends, is what we're seeing everybody around us really. Is you know, Ives Grove has them, Hawksview has them, over here the new sports complex, Westosha Sports Complex has them. I think they're a little bit less. I think they're 30 and 35, So yeah, but we're seeing mostly it's 35 and 40 all over the place. So yeah, that's the update on golf. We have completed all of our core verification of all 66 greens, the three practice greens, and you know, that's great. Yeah, the cart path replacement, we got 4.5 holes done, and you know, we put our best effort forward. You know, I want to give credit to the highway division, but I mean, we were pulling trucks out with bulldozers and stuff because it was just so wet and everything. So now we're winterizing, gonna winterize the golf courses, get them all set for, or the clubhouses and all the equipment, get it all set for next year. We'll be painting and rearranging and trying to make it as nice as possible. So I've never really seen I've been in golf for 33 years and I've never seen a season like this ever. Never where it's been cold all the way through June 20th and then all of a sudden slam, there goes the door, you know, Halloween or earlier. So it's amazing.
So it really is.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, when we were nice in August, we had our record month. More revenue than we ever had before, you know, when we had it in August. But, you know, and, you know, we're so excited if we could get good weather. I think, you know, our momentum is so good, and I think we could be profitable like you guys want us to be, and gals want us to be. You know, it's just the weather. It's just killer.
Dan, it's obviously everybody knows that the drainage project was taken out by the Finance Committee last week or week before. Their final review of the budget. So it might be a little bit premature because that won't be voted on until Wednesday. But what have we had any time, as I said, it may be premature, to figure what we would do or how we would try to reschedule that work? And when was that work going to occur?
Well, as soon as it dried out a little bit, you know, as soon as we could get equipment in there is when we wanted to. The biggest problem is number 16 on the blue. I mean, we get water coming from Bong onto our golf course, you know, right in the landing area where everybody tees off, that's where the balls land, and that's where there was this huge pond. And we were going to put a catch basin on either side of the fairway. We're going to run piping underneath and then run it up to by the 12 tee and 16 green, and we're going to put a low no mow area with some big sumps in there. You know, now that money came out, I don't know what we'll do. Yeah, it's
so what was the project cost on that, or what was the amount?
We had $150,000,
right?
But that was also there's a area between 13 and 16 white that still is problematic, and we were gonna try and remove eight more bunkers. We're just gonna come out. That's the least costly, you know, that's the least expensive. So we were gonna eliminate eight by just putting in grass depressions or swales or mounds, depending on what was called for in the topography there.
Right.
So those are the big projects that were on that $150,000.
So Ray, what we would do in a case like this is say, well, we know we can't do it, and then try to figure a way next year to get it into the budget.
Maybe if the budget goes through the way it is, that $50,000, we can still remove those eight bunkers. You know, so that's
possibly if the Finance Committee hadn't removed everything from a division that takes up 12% of the levy, if they'd have spread around a little bit, we might have been okay. It all came out of one group. Okay, thanks, Dan. Mike?
Ongoing projects. There's two to report on. First one is the KCC chiller replacement project out here. That project is proceeding as expected. End of the week, we have a crane pick for the unit off the roof. Second project is the planning development remodeling. That's going along as expected also. Millwork is supposed to be in about a week. We're sure if that's going to make it or not, but if it doesn't, we'll probably push the project 1 week further. Right now it's scheduled for the 15th to be done. That's ongoing projects. Focus on energy list. Nothing new to report on that. Our electrician continues to work on the LED lighting at KCAB and expects to be done by the end of the year. That's it.
So Mike, I have the same question for you.
Yeah,
and if Ray might have to hop in or Jim, but that the changes made at finance again.
Yep.
So have we given any thought on how we would proceed?
We have not sat down to really discuss it yet. I've had a couple, actually, sleepless nights thinking about it. But my goal is not to waste taxpayer money. So I'm going to suggest something that does that. And if it means removing the head end work to the second year, we'll have to do that. My fear is that we get to next year where the million is scheduled, and then they look at it at budget time and go, okay, 500 million, and push the other 500 another year. Right now, we have engineers working on a plan for the 1 million, and after Wednesday, I got to make a phone call if it turns out this way. So
you'll have the 500,000.
Right.
Now, that just the million just included the units, the ceiling units, or the roof units.
Ceiling units and controls.
Controls. That's the head end. The big one in this is the controls. We're switching the controls to a newer version, and it's so different from the old one, which is becoming obsolete really quick here, that it requires some hardware. So when we order in the new rooftop units, we're going to have them configured a certain way, and if we can't do the head end, we have to order them for the old way. And then when we get to the second year, we got to pull that unit off and throw it away, pay for the labor to put a new one on, and pay for that material.
Dive into that a little bit. So what it does is, see the controls software that we are installing countywide is designed to be an open architecture software. So what it allows us to do is we can buy anybody's rooftop unit and we buy them as dumb units. They don't have any controls on them. So the beauty of that is, one, it gives us the ability to get anybody's unit. We're not locked into any proprietary stuff like Johnson Controls and Train and some of the others like you to do. Once you buy their software, you have to only use their things. This is an open architecture. The strategy has always been to take advantage of whosever units are the best, lowest price units and put those in place. And we can order them without any kind of controls. What Mike's saying is now we won't be able to put in the head-end equipment, the software head-end equipment, so we'll have to buy the units in order to have them function. They'll have to come with some level of controls. They're only going to be on there until we actually get our real software installed, and then we'll pull those controls off so we can actually manage it the way it's designed to be managed with our software. So we're going to have to sort that out. And so what we do is we sit down, Frank, Mike, and I sit down right after the budget's passed, and then we lay out and we go through each of the projects mm-hmm. and start to strategize on what we want to do from a bid standpoint, what we need to do from an engineering standpoint, what to do from a scheduling standpoint. So this will probably be one that it's going to take a bit, because we really want to minimize anything that we're going to have to throw out and re-engineer later on. So that's going to be the challenge. And we're working with a new HVAC engineering firm, too. It seems pretty sharp, but this will be a real challenge, I think. This will definitely tell us how good they are.
These units are 25 years old?
Yeah, 1997, so 23-ish, yeah.
23-ish, and we're experiencing difficulties, and they need to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And
when they go down, it's expected to repair them, and if you're going to replace them in a couple of years, you're throwing that money away.
And the complication is also that roof is the same age, and that's coming up on our list. I know we explained that at finance, and it seemed to everyone understood it when we were there, and they passed the budget as presented, but then the next night some deals were made and that was changed. So I know they had the information that this could get costly. Apparently it didn't make any difference. So that's why I'm asking if we have any plan that, because if you go into catastrophe there and they start failing and that roof starts failing, we could end up spending a ton of money from somewhere that we don't have.
On top of that is if you go down for any period of time, especially in the summer when it's really hot, you've got all those ice prisoners in there.
Yeah, we can. From a federal contract standpoint that the sheriff has with the feds, there is very strict parameters for the level of prisoner care that have to be met, and the HVAC system is a critical component of that. So if anything did happen that created conditions that don't meet federal standards, that opens up a whole other can of worms we don't want to get into. So the challenge will be to identify a strategy for next year that really we want to minimize, if possible, eliminate the spending of any money that we're going to have to yank out and toss in a couple of years, but yet still start to address the risks that are posed by what the conditions of things are right now. So that's right. That'll be the challenge.
I just wanted this committee to be aware. I think they all were, because we had discussed it here and then at finance. That was the one that really shocked me. So, Jim, you had.
I was just going to say what you guys just said about the. We're just riding on borrowed time. We've had a few that went down. It's probably going to happen again, and we didn't budget extra money for repairs or anything like that. Just the normal for either roof or machinery. So,
right.
Hopefully, we don't have to come back and ask for any emergency money to fix anything.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anderson Arts Center Preservation Project, the HVAC startup and commissioning is complete. Thankfully, everything started up okay. We're in punch list, and we're going to train people on the HVAC system, geothermal, and the boilers, etc. The window and shutter restoration is complete. One of the painters, he glazed in 957 panes of glass.
They're all heavy drinkers anyway. My wallet is painted.
East half of the roof elevation work is complete. West half is 90% complete. Rain, like everybody's been facing, we will get there. And like I said, thankfully with this roofing system, we're okay. But yes, they've been working Saturdays whenever the sun is shining and it's not raining. The new toilet rooms in the garage that we converted with handicap accessible bathrooms and everything, it's accessible from outside and inside, those are complete. I think those came out really well. We designed them for very low maintenance going forward, and I think people will be really impressed with that. Project completion, we're still scheduled for, you know, November, end of November here, you know, barring if the, it looks like we won't have some rain for a little while, so knock on wood, I think we'll be able to wrap it up.
It's gonna snow for
him. It's gonna snow. It's gonna snow, but yeah.
No rain, don't worry.
So any questions on Anderson? Not ceremonial courtroom restoration project. Like I've been saying, the architects is compiling report. It's very detailed, and the estimated cost and restoration. And we've got people, you know, out there really knocking on doors for public and private grant funding. So we're moving forward on that. No questions. We'll go on to the joint services evidence area renovation. Just a little bit of background. The evidence area literally is overflowing. They've got stuff on the floor. They got stuff everywhere. They literally do not have any room. That's really why this is being done. We're assisting joint services in the design of the evidence area renovation. The big documents, we were able to really focus everybody and get them on board, and we were able to release them a little bit ahead of schedule on October 31st. We've got the bids for the main construction work coming back due on November 21st. Preliminary cost estimates that the architect put together are between that $980,000 to $1.2 million, and we're scheduling the project construction for next year. That's it.
Thank you, Frank. Ray?
We'll just wrap things up with a few comments. Two biggest things that affected the department in October were budget-related support activities, just a few night meetings, and the wet weather. Projects and operations were negatively impacted by the weather. Resources in all the divisions had to be kind of reallocated to address a lot of the weather-related stuff, and kind of affected our ability to accomplish some of the core tasks we had hoped to. If we're fortunate to have a drying out in November, December, we'll still attempt to wrap up some of the projects that we've got in play, but we're not counting on this. Continue to work on getting winter operations in full swing in all of the departments. With regard to the simulcast project, there was a couple big milestones in October. We received FCC approval for the second countywide digital channel for the Sheriff's Department. Not a lot of folks know it, but right now the Sheriff's Department really only has one channel that works well countywide. That's it. This will be a second one, so they have two fully functional ones once we get the simulcast project in place. It took about 18 months to work through the FCC process to get that approval, but with what we've got it now. We're also working with Baycom, Motorola Baycom. We did geotech soil borings at the Silver Lake site about 2 weeks ago. The foundation design is in process. We're tentatively scheduling the construction, if the weather cooperates, like the first or second week in December. We're just gonna play that by ear as far as the weather itself goes, but we've got things at least lined up for that to occur if the weather cooperates. Downtown, we've got three of the four properties that we needed next to the fleet maintenance building. We purchased those three. And actually, I just heard today, I met with the attorneys, and she said that the fourth one has now come together as well. So we should have all four of those by the end of the year. That'll be it. We'll be able to start to schedule demo for stuff then, hopefully in early spring, to those some of those buildings. Met with the and then I got to start the rezoning process with the city for those four properties, which should be an interesting adventure. Met with the Randall Town Board and Plan Commission on the 24th, and as I indicated earlier, had kind of a spirited discussion with some of the folks, but at the end of the day, they voted to move forward with supporting the IGA in concept and have their legal team start to look at it so that we can keep that moving forward. Hoping to hear back from the village chairman this week so that we can get something scheduled for Twin Lakes, and I'll let the committee know when that happens.
Were there a lot of citizens at the...
There was about eight citizens, I'd say, in the crowd, and then the full plan commission and the full board. So there was like 12 people sitting up at the front table. And it was a good meeting. It was a lot of people, I think, were at least, are now better informed on the whole thing. And then we still need, on the Highway F thing, to review. I got to push Joe to finish some stuff so we can get the rest of the MOUs out to the other folks so we can get that piece of the puzzle in place as well. And that's pretty much it. Everybody else has covered stuff pretty well, so hopefully it'll start to dry out here, but we'll see what happens.
Snows are the thing that prohibit it from drying out worse than anything. That... And when the snow falls on top of 2 inches of leaves, that's why this area had all the ice houses back in the 18 and early 1900s. Insulation.
Insulation from
yeah. The straw, the hay, and the leaves.
We have the youth of governors to come break our leaves.
That was last year. So.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.